I wrote down the wrong verse is what happened. But it's in Acts, and it says, there is no other name that there is salvation in. And it's to even the saving of your household. Do you believe? And it says, the saving your household is there. Your household will be saved. And as I went in there, there were so many verses about there is no other name. And you think about that when you think of salvation. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is protection. But you know, sometimes when we talk about all these different words, salvation is deliverance, but it's also protection. But being protected is deliverance. And I thought of the many things the Lord's had in my heart about ships and boats and storms and winds blowing. And I believe that we're going to come into this time. There's something I know that even when Paul had to go to Rome, that's where I believe it's coming in this to the political and the religious realm. But there is no other name. You think of names today, and only you, yes?
Acts 4:12.
And I wrote that. I guess I just didn't go. Acts 4:12. I'm going to read that. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven. So that means you can name anything you want to name. Anything you want to name that man is saying, this is my Savior. This is what changed me. This is what made me this way. This is what, you know, that's one thing about when I used to go to this one place, the Lord showed me, who's getting the glory for this? It should be the Lord getting the glory. And it was, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if I'm going to be saved, in Corinthians it said you are saved from the penalty of sin. You are saved from the power of sin. And Gene's been talking about that grace. It's power. Penalty. It's all been paid for. And someone said yesterday, so stop fishing. Stop fishing. This is a no fishing place. You shouldn't be fishing where God said it is finished, it's done, and they're dead. He doesn't want to bring up the stink anymore. And he says, then you're not just saved from the penalty and the power of sin. You're saved from the very presence of sin. You couldn't save yourself from the penalty and the wrongs that you had done. Jesus paid that price. And yes, he went through a storm. And just like the typical of when you go into Jonah, when you see, he told him, I must die. Throw me overboard. But when that great storm came, God is the one that brought the wind. God is the one who prepared that great fish. God said he was swallowed up. When he was in the belly of that fish, on the third day, what happened? He was spit out on dry ground. He was a resurrected one. He was a new creation. He said, salvation is of the Lord. No other person, no other thing, every name under heaven, anything. His name is above all names. Every name you could think of. That's why part of yesterday was, I can do nothing. That's right. Don't look to people. Don't look to people. And I've always had a problem trusting people. The Lord said, don't worry about trusting people. You trust me. You trust me. Because the things that you may not trust is their flesh. And it's like when you don't trust it, you have to put your confidence in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in man. You think about it. If you wanted to be confident in yourself, did you save yourself from the penalty of sin? Can you save anybody else? No. What is it going to take if you're going to correct and you're going to teach and things are to be addressed, as we heard? What did God say? Preach the word. The word of God is what's going to change people. It said the word of God is for correction. So if there's correction that's needed, you preach the word. You seek the Lord. You ask him, how do we do that? There are many things in our life, as long as it's directed of the Spirit and you do it by the word of God in the right order. So as I went through this, I was thinking of all the different situations, and I couldn't deliver myself from the penalty, and there's nobody sitting in this room that can deliver me from the power of sin. You may give me testimonies. How did the Lord deliver you? I do want to hear that. I want to hear those testimonies. How did God, by his grace, deliver you? Because that would be our desire. I want that change. We want that change in our life. And it's by the desire of the word of God brought that change. And then what else? He said, you can't deliver yourself from the power of sin. Who of you can deliver yourself from the very presence of sin? When Jesus comes, are you going to just lift yourself up and leave? No. You must rely on the very power of God for the whole thing. It's the whole counsel of God. As you go in and you think of the different ships, the Lord gave me, it was deliverance. But in Genesis, we're going to start with Genesis chapter 6. Because there was rain that came here. There was a storm coming. Genesis chapter 6. But God already had a plan. In Genesis chapter 6, when you read, it says, verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, also after that. And when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw. And we have to remember, you've been told we are supposed to marry a believer, not an unbeliever. Because this is what happens. You get those giants. But I was thinking of our day today. There are giants today. There are giants today. But I said, those giants come because we're mixing truth. These are things that you can't come up against. This is where you're going to have to, there's giants. Like people are saying, oh, we're so smart. We're going to take what God made. Now we're going to turn it around. We're going to make it something different. Or they get into these computers and they start doing all these things. And I go, they're playing God. But God, I believe God is just waiting. He just winks at them. He's like, you know, I'm not going to keep striving with all this nonsense. And he put right here, in the days of Noah. But remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of man, the Son of Man. He's going to come. What was going on at that time? Was he being mocked? Was he being talked about? What was going on? He said, I'm waiting for my deliverance. You see, he had hope beyond the circumstance. He had hope beyond the rain. He had hope beyond the flood. He had hope beyond the wrath that was to come. His hope was in the Lord. And he knew, because it says Noah was a just man. He walked in all these generations, and he walked, it says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Are we walking with God, or are we walking with man? If you walk with God, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, his whole life was centered, I have to know by faith, I have to believe beyond this circumstance, beyond the winds, beyond the storm, beyond the safety of a boat. You see, every one of these are going to tie together. And it was like, he told him, And God saw in verse 5, the wickedness of man was great. Where was that at? In the earth. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. How often? Continually. Gene brought out yesterday, we should be contending for the faith. Let this mind be in you. We have to take these thoughts, casting down those thoughts and those imaginations, those high things that are doing what? They come against the knowledge of God. It came out, it's going to take holy boldness to stand and say, the Lord revealed this to my heart and I must speak these things. You will be talked about. You will be persecuted. I guarantee you, take a stand and you'll see what's going to happen. It is harder to walk alone than to walk in a group. Much harder. And if you don't believe it, ask God. Ask God. Abraham, he walked with God. He believed. He had to count the things that were not as though they already were. Mary, she had to say, be it according unto thy word, Lord. Don't think that people, why would Joseph want to hide her away? He didn't want her to have to go through that persecution. He didn't want her to have to go, well, I wasn't with anybody. How many people would believe that? Well, God came and spoke to me. Oh, God doesn't speak like that. How many times do you hear that? God does speak. He does speak. He impresses on your heart. You can be anywhere, anywhere at any time. He said, my sheep know my voice. He can impress thoughts. Let this mind be in you. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. Why would he not bring his thought? Do you ever sit and wonder why? And then he told me, he brought this whole song. Choose now, ready, quick to answer. Here am I, here am I. Do you know that Moses did that? He turned to see and God called him and he said, here am I. Then little Samuel, did you call me? Here I am. No, I didn't call you yet. But are we ready? Are we quick to answer when I call you? When I call you, doesn't matter where, what, or when, choose now. Be ready. Be quick to answer. Do you have an answer for all men? If you don't, I had questions about some things, but I went to God. Was God faithful? Yes. He will give you the answer. Don't always go just by what you're told, even from me. I don't care. That is one thing Bill Young taught me. Always check it out by the word of God. And if it doesn't measure up, I don't say throw it in a trash can. Just, what is that to thee? Follow thou me now. I mean, just, you don't have to get caught up in the do's and don'ts and all the stuff. Just, if God didn't say it, I don't want nothing to do with it. My sheep know my voice. It's not a voice of confusion. It's not a voice of contention. It's not a voice that presses people down. His voice corrects. You know, we had that yesterday. His voice, those winds, it'll seem like a wind to you because the chastening in the present time doesn't seem to be joyous. But guess what? God allowed that wind. God allowed that storm. And the reason why is because it's going to bring forth that peaceable fruit. That's what you want. He's allowing these things. As I went in and I kept going with Noah, God said, I'm done. God saw that wickedness. He saw everything they were doing. It was completely evil and it was wrong. And God said, I've had enough. I've had enough. It's time. It's over. There's coming a time that trump is going to sound. But I guarantee you, it is only those that have an ear. You have to be able to hear that trump now, or you will not hear that trump say, come up hither. He is sounding the trump of his word today. We must hear it. You know, they showed in Numbers. They blew the trumpet. They came. They went to war. There were different sounds of the trumpet when they blow. But the word of God, come up hither. And you know his voice because he's told you, rise up, my love. Come away with me. All these generations. And the Lord said, it's corrupt. All this flesh has come before me. We had the stench, and I was thinking of how Vicki Moots brought out about the winds. And she was talking about blow on my garden, north wind. Let me tell you, everybody doesn't do that in the very beginning. Oh, bring the wind, bring the wind. No, I believe that's a time in your life that you've grown, that you go, I hate this wind. I don't like the turmoil. I don't like the hard north bitterness. But you know what? If I'm going to see my beloved and they can see Jesus, it's worth it. Blow on my garden that he may enjoy the fragrance. He will see from her life and his life that they've accepted what he has done. And it is enough. It is enough. Then we go into, Noah, I want you to go from there over to Hebrews. Just kind of go the same way he showed me. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith. How did faith come? Because God talked to him. What if Noah would have went around to everybody, do you really think God told me this? No, he didn't do that. God told him to build an ark. Why was that ark prepared? Build and prepare this ark. That ark is typical of Christ before judgment waters come. Before these things and the hour that we're going to be taken out of, we have a promise. You see, we have a hope beyond those tribulations. We're learning that now, before judgment waters. It's safety from the wrath. It's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as you read it, you'll say, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. God is telling people things that have not been seen yet. Moved with fear, not scared. In reverence, submission. Remember, grace, the grace, Paul's name, meant humble. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith. I believe it. He said it. I have peace with it. I think there's so much laboring going on, and I'm applying this to me, not you guys have to apply it to you. Don't labor for this and for that and for this and for that. Labor to enter into that rest. Because I tell you what, that bride's going to be. She's enjoying the holiest of holies today. It's a perfect cube, perfect measurement, perfect in Christ. But everybody, I kept hearing, rejoice in the Lord and be thankful in all things. And we got to remember, there are people coming in off streets. Someone tell them, well, how did you learn to rejoice in the Lord always? How did you learn how the tribulation worketh patience? How did you learn to keep calm, or how were you calm? I'll say it that way, because you don't keep yourself calm. If you do, by the time you walk out of the building, it won't be calm. You're calm in the midst of the storm. How do you do that? By God's grace. I'll give you a testimony. You see, you're going to share him. That's what a testimony is. Jesus did this. Jesus did that. Jesus delivered. Jesus gave me the power, the grace of God. And as I went in and I studied, then it was like, then he went to another boat. He said, look at the little ark. Look at the little ark that Moses was put in. Why was he put in there? Because the baby boys were going to be put to death. But there was a place of deliverance. There was a place of protection. And you know, they say it's got to be, you can't give what you don't have. Well, Moses, let me tell you, you were put in the ark. You were delivered. You were taken out. You went into the king's palace. After you lived there, you came to the place in Hebrews that it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents. I don't think his mother liked to have to put her baby in an ark and put it on the water and have to leave it there. But I believe if we take our children even today and do as she did, put them in the ark of safety. Put them in the place that God will deliver. God will protect. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Put them in the place of safety. Bring them to the altar. Leave them with God. His parents hid him 3 months of his parents because they knew he was a proper child. They knew it. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You see that? They're not afraid of a king, the one in power. They weren't afraid because they knew he was God. He was a proper child. They esteeming the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures of anything you could offer them in Egypt. He had respect unto the reward or recompense of the reward. By faith, see, he couldn't have done this without faith. He forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured, seeing him who was what? Invisible. Hope that is seen is not hope. And he believed what he knew in his heart. And as I looked at this and I thought, okay, Moses just started out in a little ark. Here comes the daughter out, takes you out of the water. You're raised in this home. But there came a day that you said no. And God called you. What did he do? He said, you're going to go and deliver my people. Who am I? You're one who knows what it means to be delivered. You're the one who had to be put in an ark of safety. You're the one who was raised in the king's palace. You were raised here on this earth, but you are able to by God's grace. He said, I am going to be with you, Moses. You are going to bring my people up. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I don't want to go to Pharaoh. I mean, I can just see this guy. Why would you send me? But see, God prepared him before he ever sent him to have to do that. He had lived that life. He knew. He knew exactly. And God kept filling in everything. God, remember, walk with God. Baby Moses, what about the ship when it was tossed in Acts 27? Paul told him in the beginning. In the beginning, he told him, I don't think this is the right way to go. I think this is going to be hurtful. They didn't listen. Oh, no, they listened to the centurion, the one who was the headmaster of the ship. We're going to do what he says. He's much wiser. So they did. There was a storm that hit that even Paul himself was in the midst. Thank God grace was in the midst of that ship. And he said, be of good cheer because God was faithful. Even when the winds were blowing, God already had deliverance planned. He already had it. Paul, you got to go to Rome. This is my will. The winds and the waves can't stop my will. And when we get to that place, you're going to have perfect rest. Your flesh may never like it, but you're going to have a peace on the inward man that the Word of God is speaking to our hearts. And I looked and it said the people that were on the ship, they ate meat. And guess what? They were all of good cheer. Feed them the meat of the Word. I loved it when Jean said, I'd like to change that song about the manna. I've never liked that either. I'm feasting on the manna. You're not gonna feast on baby food your whole life. He said, I'd rather put something in there about the corn and oil. Because he knows it. Because he's walked it. He's lived that life. Now, when you go into, Noah, Paul, Moses, and I like this, when he was raised in the king's palace, go over to Exodus. No, we're not going to go there because I basically hit that. We've got to get into Psalms 91 because I thought, Lord, did you put the frosting on the cake with this one? You hear of all these storms, the winds, the boats, the protection. It's all God. God did it all. Now go to Psalms 91. And we're not going to read it all. You can do that later. But the verses he told me to read was starting on verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I, not him, not them, not a thing, nothing. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Who? He hath set his love upon me, therefore I'm going to deliver him. I will set him on high. Because what? He hath known my name. His name is above every other name you can think of. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him. In trouble. I will be with him, I will deliver him, honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You remember Jesus told him to get in the boat? We're going to the other side. He went in the back, the hinder of the ship, or boat. He goes back there and he goes to sleep. And then all these winds and waves begin to hit the boat. How many of us have done this? Oh, he calls us. He says, we're going to go to the other side. Come on, let's go. You know, they're disciples. They're learners of him. How are you going to tell people this story? It's going to become real to you. We're going to the other side. When he says it, he means it. They're in the boat, the winds, the waves come, and they go, Master, do you care not that we're perishing? Look around this boat. We are going to sink. We're going to drown. We're going to die. Jesus, the deliverer, he's right there. And it says he stood up, and he rebuked the wind, and he spoke to the wave. And then he spoke to them and he said, where's your faith? Why do you not have faith? Where is your faith? Now, where is your faith? Jesus is standing right in their presence. And he said, where is your faith? Most people will tell you, I don't have the faith to do that. I don't have enough faith like you. Or I don't have enough faith like them. It's the faith of the Son of God who loved us, gave himself for us. That's who I believe in. my Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus is there. That's why I like that song about Master. The tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. What harm can it happen if I'm right in the ship lying right there with you? I'm in the storm. I'm going to take you through this. It doesn't feel like it when your emotions start rolling and Satan starts putting thoughts in your head and, you know, but do we have compassion? That's the thing. I'm glad he does this to my heart, but it's like when I see somebody hurting, I mean hurting, I can't just let my life keep going by like nothing happened to him. Jesus didn't do that. He said, reach out and touch the Lord as he comes by. Zacchaeus knew that. He wanted to see Jesus. The woman, I thought of the one who had been sick from life. But God wasn't not ever there. He healed her just in time. He already knew she was sick. He already knew those things. I don't know what is beyond the winds. I don't know what's beyond the storms that I may go through. But I do know one thing. He's ordered it. I want it. Keep blowing, Lord, because I want to see you in a greater way. Because that's the only way, the true oil, the true fragrance of life. That's the only way we're ever going to see it. It'll just be a hunk of words. Tribulation, work of patience, patience, experience, experience, hope, hope making not ashamed, and the love of God is shed abroad. Oh, she memorized it. No, I did not memorize it. I walked those verses. They're real in the heart. And I know that that's where true love comes from. You have to experience it. Have you ever been chastened? Have you ever been chastened? Did it feel good? Did you like it? If your sister was being chastened, what would you do? Oh, well, they deserve it. My brother got a spanking. He deserved it. I hurt when my brother got a spanking. I hurt. And I think it's lacking. I really do. I think it's lacking. You guys, when I'm in a trial, I need my body. I need my body to be there for me. And you need me. You may not think it, but you do, because God said so. There are no useless members in this body. And in these last days, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. It's like we need each other all the more. Because we have to tell them, how did you endure chastening? You liked it? No, I didn't like the actual chastening. But let me tell you, it brought forth fruit. I wanted fruit in my life. I wanted something that's going to be able to stand in the last days. I think there's still a lot more ahead. I hate to tell you, but I really believe that. I think there's a lot coming. But he's going to have her. She's going to be standing. She's going to be believing God. And they're going to go, how is she standing and the winds are blowing and the trials are hitting? Why is she not saying yes? She is saying yes. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. That's what that bride's going to be saying. Not because she's doing better than everybody else. That's not it. It's because she found grace. Grace in his eyes. I loved it when I heard Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He saw Noah. Noah was right there amidst all this junk, right in the midst of it. But he still believed God, and he still built that boat, the ark. And God supplied everything that was needed. Everything. And he's done that for us. In Christ, my Redeemer. I'm glad I know my Redeemer, my Savior. He's alive. He liveth forever and ever. And because he is alive, saints that are not sitting in these pews that weren't here before, I don't care. They're still alive. Their testimony of Jesus is still with me. I feast on it. So what do you think Jesus is doing with your lives? He's feasting upon your love. He loves you so much. And when you just lay hold of one thing, even a chastening, when you're laying hold on that chastening, go, oh, he's going to instruct me in the ways of righteousness. This is what I've been asking for, Lord. But we usually don't. We really don't. People don't tell you that. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to go, oh, victory is mine. I'm so excited because I'm in a trial. No. Oh, this is hard. But I believe it gets tougher and tougher because he's going to get down to every knit, everything. He's getting in there and he's changing her completely. All she has to do is choose now. Ready, quick to answer. Here am I. I choose now. And today is the day of salvation. So whatever vote he orders for us, whatever wind comes your way, it may be the south wind and you'll enjoy that. But that's another part of that story of Acts 27. Be careful, you don't want to go the easy way. That's where the old palm branches are going to be. Yeah, it's not the easy way. It's going to be, I must decrease that he may increase. Let's all stand.